Hi, hello, how are you? This is I've Always Said That with your host Brad, and we are doing RuPaul's Drag Race Season 17, Episode 12, Recap, Review, Reanalyze, the Charisma, Uniqueness, Nerve, and Talent monologues. We love an anagram. Yes, we do. Let's get into it. So, I'm feeling good. I'm excited for this. I'm excited for something of a different challenge. But first, let's get into what happened last week after Lydia's elimination. There's genuine sadness in the workroom, right? Everyone loved Lydia, including myself. It was very sad to see her go. I think she would have had it in the bag if it wasn't for those damn scissors. Lana is still now the only queen left without a win in the room. And Anya, on the other hand, is celebrating being the only member of the Three Wins Club. However, she's still humble and focused, and she's still a queen for the people. And I can just see in Susie Toots' eyes that she's feeling the fire, feeling the rage. But no, I think you can tell everyone's pushing that narrative onto Susie, but she's like handling herself very well, very, very well. They talk about, on the main stage, they were asked who should go home tonight and why, the infamous question. Four of them, in my opinion, copped out and said Susie Toot because she was her biggest competitor. First of all, is Susie Toot really the biggest competitor? Yes, once again, I know she's amazing, but Anya is by far the biggest competitor. Like, are you for real? I don't understand that thinking. And then anyway, a couple of other people I think said Lana and Lydia because they were at the bottom of the pit. Bottom of the pit? Oh, god damn, that was rough. Pit girl, okay. But, so Anya calls them all out and they were like, well, it's who you think should go home. And it's like, yes, based on that. It's like, I don't understand the thinking of just, Ru wants the answer to the question. Don't have a cop-out. Seriously. It's just boring. You got to answer the question in the truth. You don't need to take it seriously. Just answer for the question for what it is. Capiche? Capiche. Anyway, it's a new day in the workroom. Mini challenge time. Yes, we love a mini challenge. So the queens are asked to pair up with who they think gets them the most. And Lexi immediately holds on to Anya, but Sam's like, oh, I thought we were the closest. And Lexi in her confessional is like, yeah, Sam's probably like upset that I didn't go with her. But if I cling to Anya, she's been doing well, and that in by proxy, I'll do well. So I'm like, I get the thinking, but just saying it out loud comes across like, girl, really, be for real. Anyway, so Lexi ends up with Anya. Sam ends up with Lana and Susie ends up with Jules. So the mini challenge is they have to write the other person's bio. So Jules writes for Susie, Susie writes for Jules, etc., etc. The standout is Jules. Her bio for Susie is so fucking funny. What does she say? Her makeup inspiration is a mix between Bette Midler and Ronald McDonald, and it is truly hard to look at. It's so good. It's quite funny from Jules, I will say. Anya also did really well, but Lexi was like just swing and a miss, absolutely. She just wrote random things in that didn't really apply to Anya whatsoever, so it was just random and therefore not funny, and everyone was just like, okay, sure Jan, sure. So Jules is announced as the winner, and she receives $1,000 in cold hard cash. Good job, Jules. So the maxi challenge is announced. The charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. The corn monologues. Using heart and humor to tell a story based off a prompt. So they each take turns picking out a prompt from the pink furry box held by the pick crew. Jules goes first, and she picks Out of This World. Susie gets Learned That the Hard Way. Lana gets Lost. Sam, Triggered. Lexi, Payback's a Bitch, and Anya, Obsessed. Which one would I want? Either like Payback's a Bitch or Obsessed. I feel like they could be fun, you know? But Ru announces a twist. In pairs from the mini challenge, while one person tells their story, the other has to bring it to life through the art of interpretive dance. Yes, two queens or one story. As the winner of the mini challenge, Jules will also get to pick the order. And everyone's like, oh, no. Especially Lexi. She's like, Jules, don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. And Jules is like, oh my God, the trauma. Trauma. So they're all getting ready for the challenge. And I really like the idea of this, that you get to learn a little bit more about the queens and sort of like, as they do like a fun delivery, something a bit different. I don't know if I'd call it stand up, like, cause it is that tinge of like the story. I think that's the thing of the challenge. The story is like based around, it's a story. It's slightly serious, but you got to make it fun, funny, and engaging. I think that's the hard part of the challenge. So it'll be interesting to see how they all do with that. Jules and Sue, I keep going to call her Sulzy. Jules and Sulzy talk about setting the others up with the order. And I'm like, yes, good. It's late in the competition, top six. This is the time to like throw everything at the wall that you've got just to like get any advantage you can. Jules and Susie want to go first, and Jules asks the others what they want to do. Sam and Lana say, well, if last place is up for grabs, we'll do last. And Jules is like, yep, cool, no worries. So the order will be Susie and Jules, Anya and Lexi, Sam and Lana. And Lexi is ecstatic to be so far away from Susie. Sorry, in my notes, I said Lexi is happy to be far away from Lexi. And that is also true. She needs to get away from her inner saboteur. So basically Jules chickened out from setting up everyone, but she says she has the trauma from last time. So I can't really blame her for that. To be honest, as they're all getting ready, I'm worried for all of them. Like they're all, I think, struggling in the interpretive dance part. And then some of them are telling us a bit about their stories and like what they want to do with it. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be really interesting to see. Worried, very worried. So, out on the main stage, Susie is up first with Jules dancing. Susie's topic, once again, prompt is learned that the hard way. So, she talks about being in a spelling bee, yearning for her father's approval from doing well in the spelling bee. It's very, very serious. She delivers it like, I will go to the spelling bee to win and get my father's approval. And it's like, yeah, okay, we get it, but... You know, I'm losing interest, Silsy. I'm losing interest. But meanwhile, Jules is in the background and she's bringing the funny through her facials and her interpretive dance. So she's making up ever so slightly for Susie's monologue. Jules is up next with Susie dancing and her prompt is out of this world. She talks about having a ghost best friend who basically tells her to lean into her feminine side, like playing with dolls, wearing makeup, and eventually leads into her becoming her drag persona. It's less serious than Susie's, but it's still performed very like, and at the end of the day, this is what matters. All you can do is laugh. No, sorry, I don't know why I was going there, but it's just still very like, dun, 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 dun. I'm like, just relax a bit into it. Barely noticed Susie's dance. It was like, I wasn't paying attention to it all. I think I got a bit lost with these two in general. Then we have the wonderful, gorgeous On Your Nerve with Lexi dancing and her prompt is obsessed. She talks about being obsessed with being a raw spiritual vegan, and this is just so hilariously funny. The hilarity is great. My favorite quotes were, and spinach to help me shit. It's funny, engaging, and like, are we even surprised? She's, quote, a closeted meat eater. And then Lexi in the background is just going full out. I'm so happy to see Lexi just not care about it whatsoever. She's just going for it. Just, I'm proud of her. I'm proud of my little girl, you know? They work really, really well together. So then Lexi is up with Anya dancing for her. Payback's a bitch. She tells a story about a close friend tearing her a new one on a photo of Lexi making fun of all her masculine features. So it's a really fun, engaging story once again. Anya also killing it in the dancing. In the words of JoJo Siwa, karma's a bitch. Loved that. I think they performed like miles and miles ahead of the other two so far. So I was really happy to see that. Especially Lexi, like she hasn't won since her talent show. So I'm really hoping she pulls one out of the bag this late into the competition, like episode 12. It's been what? She won episode 2. So it's been a while. Then we have the last duo of the night, Sam with Lana dancing in the background, Triggered. It's a story about her running for Homecoming King, but she comes to school one day and the posters have been vandalized to say Homecoming Queen. She obviously comes from a very conservative background country. I want to say Texas, but I don't quote me on that. Lana's movements weren't really translating the story for me. Like Sam was getting into like the sad stories when she was like getting really emotional, and Lana's doing all these big, big movements. And I'm like, I know it's interpretive dance, but I don't think that interpretation is correct. So it wasn't really balanced. Finally, Lana with Sam dancing, lost. Story about her being lost in her family unit coming from a conservative background. Sam's dancing is bad. Like, just, it doesn't coordinate with Lana's story whatsoever, which I think pulls down Lana's story because we're watching Sam and it's just like, what are you doing? I couldn't really connect with either of them. Like, if I looked at their stories on paper, I'd be like, these are, of course, beautiful stories that have really great meaning and helped shape these queens into who they are. But the performance of them mixed with the interpretive dance, I don't think that was delivered as good as it could have been. On the runway, we have, as a celebration of 10 years since this category was first used, ugliest dress. Now, season 7, when they used this, a few of them fell into the trap of just, it really wasn't that ugly. Like, Miss Fames comes to mind in particular. It was like a bit quirky, but it definitely wasn't ugly. First up, we have Susie Toot, and she met the criteria. This is fugly. This is really fugly. It's a Christmas tree. There is no shape to her whatsoever. It's so ugly. Her face is literally a pale yellow, but her neck is green. She's got Andy Calm. She got candy cane arms. Her body is the tree. Her, like, there's like a, I guess it's sort of like a trumpet skirt of like the red thing that goes under the tree, but it's just, it's hideous. So, I mean, she hit the nail on the head. Like, what more can you say? Jewel Sparkles comes out next, and she's gone the 80s route. And I have to agree with Michelle. I don't think this is ugly. I think this is like, for the 80s, it's quite pretty. If this was in the 80s, I'd be like, that's pretty slay, you know? She's wearing like fake braces and stuff, but even it's like, it's giving like a cool like character from the 80s. It's this bright blue metallic sort of dress and then sequined corseted top. I think it's quite nice. I think she's just missed the ugliest dress mark. We then have Anya Nerve, and she's a turkey. Like, I don't know what else you want me to say. And it's not even like a good turkey. It's really poorly done turkey with like the turkey's, is it the neck? I guess her face is like, her face is the head and she's got the feathers coming up behind her neck. But this like long prong, like beak, the turkey beak coming down over her face. And it's just like, what is going on? I will say, I do appreciate the fact that she's in a heel in those turkey legging stocking things and they're all bedazzled. So it's like, it's done right, but it's still ugly and in the right way. So it's just absolute perfection from her. We have Lexi Love, and she's not in a train. Yes! Winning. I will say her face, like from the chest up, I think it's very beautiful. It's this like frilly tulle thing. She's got like a cute little bow tie on, and I love this sculpted hair with the middle part. And I like the gloves. And then she's got like 300 different tutus on, all in different colors, not matching, coordinating whatsoever. So I guess that's the ugly part. But it's kind of giving me like avant-garde fashion, ugly on purpose. And I guess it is ugly on... Okay, you know what? No, I will give this to her. I think she's done a really good job here. It's beautifully ugly. So I will give that a tick in the ugliest dress challenge. I like it. Yeah. You know, Lexi Stan, obviously. Sam Star comes out next, and she is in this Lady Gaga-esque meat dress. It's kind of like velvety suede. It looks like that sort of material with this bedazzled heart coming out of her chest, and she has this knife stuck into her head with blood dripping down everywhere. This isn't ugly in the slightest. This is beautiful. This is like high fashion, gorgeous. I don't know why Sam thought this was ugly. I think this is absolutely stunning. Like, I don't know what else to say. She's got beautiful, like, jewelry in it. I really like her, like, red earrings, the blood coming out of her eyes and everything. This is stunning. This is really stunning. So it does not meet the category whatsoever. And then finally on the runway, we have Miss Lana Del Rey. And if you thought this outfit looked familiar, you would be correct. Because it is Kanye Muse's pocket outfit from season 13. And I think it is absolutely right that it is on this ugliest dress category runway today, because that thing is fugly. If you haven't seen it, it's like the top part and the sleeves are like vinyl sort of thing, but then it's just pockets kind of loosely sewn together going down. I feel kind of like a chainmail of pockets almost. It's just fugly. I still am a bit like about runways just getting simply repeated on, but I guess because it's not like being like, oh, I'm using this as my own. I'm using this as a gag because everyone knows it's ugly. So I get it. I approve. My favorite runway was actually Miss Silsy Toot because it was the fugliest. So good on her. My least favorite would probably be Sam Star because it was actually quite beautiful. It didn't give ugly at all. So critiques, tops of the week were Lexi and Anya. Susie and Jules kind of got middle range critiques. So I guess I kind of give them like a safe-ish position. And then I think Sam and Lana got the worst critiques. At this stage, I'm assuming they're judging in pairs, but they haven't said otherwise. So I'm like, is there only going to be one winner? Like, are they going to get like two people from different duos in the bottom? We're not sure until we get the final decision at the end. In Untucked, however, Anya and Lexi are on top of the moon, especially Lexi, to finally be right up there, that win just within reach. They're just absolutely feeling themselves. On the complete other end of the spectrum, Lana is absolutely heartbroken. Doesn't want people to assume she'd be in the bottom again, and I feel for her, I really do. Sam preps for her first possible time in the bottom. She's convinced that she's not going anywhere. Like, I admire that fire, because I'd be like, well, fuck, what are you gonna do? And Susie is convinced her and Jules will be fine, but Jules listens to the music anyway. I think that's what is getting on people's nerves a bit. Like, Susie just being like, oh yeah, like, this will happen. It's all good. It's like, no, you got to be prepared. And it's coming off a bit like, like, cocky in a way. And I don't think she means to, but that's how it's coming across. Back on the main stage, the winner of the week is Anya and Lexi. That's right, everybody. That means Anya has her fourth win. Her fourth win. Crazy. And Lexi finally has her second. I'm so happy for them both. Rightfully winners, absolutely. However, that means the bottom two is Sam Star and Lana Del Rey. This is Sam's first time in the bottom. However, this is Lana's fourth time in the bottom. So the track record is already stacked quite heavily against Lana. The lip sync song is Illusion by Dua Lipa. Great song. And can I just say from the bat, this is a great performance. This is one of the best lip syncs of the season. They both have reveals. Lana takes off the fugly pockets dress into this kind of golden bikini swimsuit. And Sam also takes off the skirt for her piece so she can move around and dance. And they are just giving it their or even though this is her fourth time in the bottom, she is not giving up. She is giving absolutely everything. And she's just phenomenal. She looks amazing. This is her best performance of the season. Just incredible. I'm like, there is no way you can tell me that Lana did not win this lip sync. There is no way. However, there is also no way that I could see them sending Sam home. So it's like, are they going to do a double Shantae? But like, I don't think they're doing saves after the badonkadunk. And I'm like, oh, but Lana, like, clearly, she clearly won that lip sync. There's no other option. However, I say that, but Sam Star, Shantae, you stay. And there is no double save for Lana. Lana is crying, absolutely devastated. She's only 22 and she's just like, I could never do that. Like, she has absolutely killed it. Yes, she may not have been in the top for every challenge, but to make it this far at such a young age and do as well as she did, she should be so proud of herself. Her exit line is, well, is the bus still running? Hilarious. Rue's cackling. Like, she's just such a true star. So fucking incredible. So that means we have our top five for season 17. Anya, she has 4 wins. Susie with 2. Lexi also with 2. She's caught up to Susie. Sam with 2, but 1 bottom placement. And then Jules with 1 win and 1 bottom. So it's all pretty close. Like, still anything can happen. I would say Anya's pretty safe up there, but never say never in this world. Like, anything can happen at any single point. I'm really keen to see how the rest of this season is going to be. Like, season 14, is it going to be a top 5? Like, I don't think so. I really hope not. Is it going to be a top 4? Is it going to be a top 3? Is there going to be a Lollapalooza for the eliminated queen? So many questions still, with only a few episodes remaining. So let me know your thoughts. Sound off in the comments below. Like, share, comment. Follow us on Instagram at iveallwaysaidthat.pod. And stay up to date with all the latest content behind the scenes. This is I've Always Said That with your host, Brad. Love you, bye.